O God of peace, who has taught us that in returning and rest we shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be our strength. By the might of your Spirit, lift us, we pray, to your presence, where we may be still and know that you are God. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have all heard the adage that there is nothing as certain as change. On an intellectual and cerebral level, we all understand this. Nothing stays the same forever, much as we may want it to. The problems arise when we move to the emotional and subconscious levels. That is where we tap into our very basic of human natures. That is where most of us get really uncomfortable with change, uncertainty, insecurity, and disruption to our routines. Our discomfort can seem to be accelerated in these modern times of gigabytes, high-speed social media, texts, and tweets, where time and continuity are often measured in nanoseconds instead of hours and days. How can anyone keep up? Our discomfort is aggravated even more by threats to our very safety and security, evidenced most recently by yet another fatal school shooting this week, this time once and again involving elementary school children. We long for continuity, security, and certainty. We want a certain sign in clear and unambiguous language to tell us, if not what is going on, at least that everything is going to be all right. The crowd in our gospel lesson this morning is in much the same predicament. There has been much change in their lives, not the least of which was occupation by Roman troops, foreign pagans. They had a great desire for the long-expected arrival of a Messiah who would help make things right, who would restore Israel to its past and future stability and glory. They had been following Jesus and listening to his teaching, witnessing his healings. But Jesus has been talking in riddles, parables, and metaphor. "I am the good shepherd of the flock," he tells them. "I am the vine and you are the branches. I am the bread of life. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the light of the world." Who can figure out what he's talking about? In our lesson this morning, the conclusion of Jesus' public ministry in the Gospel of John, they confront Jesus directly about his identity. John tells us it is the Jews who demand this answer, but he is really referring to the Jewish religious authorities. "If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly," they demand. This is really all about Jesus' identity as Messiah and Son of God, issues the religious authorities have always had a difficult time with in relation to this Galilean preacher. Of course, their motives have not always been purely theological and spiritual either. Jesus replies by telling them again what he has been saying all along. "The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me," he tells them. "The Father and I are one." It is difficult to speak any more plainly than that. The Father and I are one. Jesus once again equates his work with the work of God, presenting them as a singular and inseparable entity, one and the same. Jesus is telling them and us, he shares in the work of God, the vision of God, the power of God. It is the only way he is able to function, fully in the Father's will, doing only the work of the Father. And yet the religious authorities who question him today are incapable of seeing what is right before their eyes. It reminds us of early in the Gospel of Matthew, when followers of John the Baptist come to Jesus after John has been arrested by Herod and thrown in prison. They ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them." You can almost hear Jesus say, "You do the math. You connect the dots. How often are we, like the followers of John the Baptist in Matthew or the religious authorities in our reading today, unable to witness the very presence of God in the midst of our everyday life? Perhaps we've been distracted by too many Hollywood moments and special effects. We have come to expect every contact with the divine to include a special backlit glow with the swelling, lush, schmaltzy string accompaniment, or the sun breaking through the clouds with the blare of trumpets. We look for a sure and certain sign in clear and unambiguous language. Tell us plainly, we plead. Yet how often do we miss what might be right in front of us? As we approach hurricane season, I am reminded of the story of the man standing in his house during a ferocious storm as the waters begin to rise. He desperately prayed to be saved, and the voice came to him, assuring him, "You will be saved." A short time later, his neighbor came by in a canoe and stopped to take him away. "No, thank you," the man replied. "God will save me." The waters continued to rise, and the man was forced to the second floor of his home. At this point, the police came by in a motorboat, but again, the man declined assistance. The waters continued to rise, and the man was forced to the roof of his house. A Coast Guard helicopter came to pick him up, but again he insisted, "No, thank you. God will save me." The waters continued to rise, and the poor man drowned. On arriving before the Holy Presence, the man was just a little bit angry. "You promised to save me," he said to God. God sighed. "I sent you a canoe. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. What more do you want?" So it is that the many gifts and blessings from God that are often presented us in the very ordinary and common elements and events of our everyday lives are always there if we only open ourselves to be open and receptive to their presence. Too often we can become like the man on the roof as the water rises around us, unable to see the blessings we are given in events, opportunities, and the extraordinary and talented people who cross our paths. We share that blessing with those in our lives in the same ordinary events. It is part of the unimaginable blessing and mystery of the Word made flesh that dwelt among us. As Jesus tells us in our reading today, the Father and I are one. As we come to know Jesus, we come to more fully know God, to more fully understand the works of God, and to more fully appreciate the presence of God in all our lives. I do believe there is the presence of God in our everyday lives, in the laughter of children, in the embrace of friends, in the gentle, intimate touch of spouse or partner, in the fellowship of table, and here in the gathering of worship. In these actions and blessings, we hear the voice of the shepherd. We hear his voice, and we know him.